The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, right here on Reality Radio 101. To join us live right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad to be with you tonight, and I believe that God's got a word for us that's going to charge our spirits, starve our doubts, renew our mind, and help us fulfill what he's called us to do. God is good all the time, and all the time he is good. No matter what you're going through tonight, God has never been your problem, and he never will be. He is your solution, praise God. And his word is life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Not everybody finds the word, but the word is there to be found, and we know who the word is. The word is not something just written on paper. The word of God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is Jesus. And when we open up our hearts, we receive him into our life. He becomes the Lord of our life, and we receive eternal life, praise God. And you know, it's so important to hear the preaching of the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come just automatically, and faith doesn't come through prayer. A lot of times people, I'm sure you've heard people pray, Gary, and ask God for faith.
Yes, for sure.
But that's not how you get faith. I mean, you know, sometimes I think even ourselves have prayed and asked for faith. You know, there is a scripture where he says, help my faith. But faith doesn't come through prayer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we have to spend time feeding on the word, reading the word, meditating the word. And when we do, faith begins to build and faith grows. And there are measures of faith. You can have, they talked about little faith. Jesus said, where is your faith? He said, how is it that you have no faith? He also said to some, how great is your faith? And then Jesus also marveled because of how much faith someone had. So there's different levels of faith, and faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And remember what faith is. Faith is confidence. Faith is persuasion. Faith is assurance. Faith is knowing that what God said, he will do. And there's things in this natural world that come so often that try to steal our faith, to try to get us to put our confidence in what we see instead of our confidence in what we believe. And when you put confidence in what you believe, that is called faith. And then you're going to talk it, you're going to speak it, you're going to stand on it, and you're not going to be moved by the things that you see or the things that you feel. Praise God. So, amen. God is good. Well, let's pray tonight and get into the word. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me right now in studio 101 at gmail.com. That's in studio 101 at gmail.com. And if you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, love to hear from you tonight. What do you want to talk about tonight? Email me right now in studio 101 at gmail.com. And I think, Gary, you're going to like what we're going to talk about tonight, because we're going to talk about politics for a little while.
Oh.
And the importance of politics. And I'd love to hear your perspective, because I know many will share that perspective. And maybe you can kind of remind everybody and help me with what elections and where we are and what's coming up in Ontario and in Canada. I'm sure you're up on all that, so you can help us.
Some of it, yeah.
And just give us a general idea. So we'll talk about that tonight. And whatever else you want to talk about, email me right now, in studio101 at gmail.com. That's in studio101 at gmail.com. Bishop Butler is speaking live right now. He's preaching at our Toronto church. So I know a lot of my Toronto folks will not be on tonight because they're either there or they're watching him, praise God, which is a wonderful thing. So I'd love to hear from you. Once again, email me right now, in studio 101 at gmail.com. And let's pray and get into the word. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you are good all the time. And we look to you tonight for a word in due season that will charge our spirits, renew our minds, give us hope for tomorrow, strength for right now. Help us to have understanding and see things the way that you see things. Grant unto each of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe, the same power that you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand, far above all principality and power and dominions and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. Get glory unto yourself through our lives. Thank you, Father, for our audience tonight. Thank you for those in Naples and in the different areas and on that coastline of the Gulf in Florida that are rebuilding right now. We pray for their strength. We pray for comfort of the Holy Spirit for those that had loved ones that died. Father, we ask you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Bless our brothers and our sisters in Christ that are in Florida, and bless the people of Florida, we pray, through them, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Those that don't know you, Father, that are listening to this radio show, we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, their hearts would be open and that you would speak to them and minister to them in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to our text tonight, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13, and it reads, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak." Now remember, we also believe. The Greek word for believe is pistis, or in this particular conjugation of this verb is pisteo, and it means to have faith. It means to have confidence, to have trust, to have persuasion, to have commitment. So in other words, we are more committed to God's word than we are to what we see or what we feel or anything that is contrary to the word of God. Remember, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that the weapons of our warfare, come on somebody, the weapons of our warfare, are we in a war? We sure are. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. Now, truthfully and technically, the war has been won. Jesus has already won the war. It's kind of like we're going to get into politics here in a few minutes. I've experienced what it is to live in the United States, and I've experienced what it is to live and be a citizen of another country called Canada. And in Canada, it's a parliamentary system. They have a constitution, but the constitution means nothing. I'm actually in a lawsuit right now, Gary. It's a human rights lawsuit because our human rights were violated when I lived in Canada. And it's been 2 years now and it's just sitting there. It doesn't seem to be doing nothing. Yeah. And there are literally thousands of people who have are suing the government over human rights violation, but it's not going anywhere because even though they have a constitution, that constitution is not being enforced. Well, not so in the United States. In the United States, people actually stand by the constitution. Now, the government at times will try to violate it. There's several things going on right now where even the president of the United States is trying to violate the constitution by really acting like a dictator and making up the rules as he goes and trying to give people, you know, all kinds of money that is not constitutional, things that he's not allowed to do. But within the Constitution of the United States, there's a checks and balance. There's three divisions of government. There's the executive branch, which is the president. There is the legislative branch, which is the House of Representatives and our United States Senate. Legislation in Canada and in other Commonwealth countries and in many other countries, most countries are under that type of system, is a parliament. And then you have the the judicial, which are the judges. And the highest judicial, of course, is the Supreme Court. So you've got a checks and balances. And in the United States, it is strong. And a lot of countries, including Canada, don't understand the Constitution of the United States. And one big one they don't understand is the Second Amendment. And we'll backtrack and come back to that in just a moment. But when it comes to trusting God, we trust God above what we see, above what we feel, above all those things, and we call that faith. And so he said here that we, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, we have trust, we have confidence, we have persuasion in God. Therefore, we speak. And the Greek word here for speak is the Greek word laleo. And laleo means to utter words. So you're uttering words, or it also means to preach. So you're uttering words, you're preaching, you're speaking what you believe in your heart. And that's where faith is. We having the same spirit of faith. So faith is a spirit. Faith comes from your spirit. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your spirit is ultimately going to come out of your mouth. That's why it's really important, you know, that we pay attention to what we say, pay attention to the words that are coming out of our mouth, especially when they just come out automatically. Because when words come out automatically, that is revealing unto us what's in our hearts in abundance. That's the issue with swearing. You know, Christians that swear, it's because it's what's inside their heart. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. It's not my job to condemn. I don't condemn anyone. I am trying to exhort people tonight to make the right decisions in what you say and what you allow to come out of your mouth, and also to pay attention to understand that what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Words matter. Words are critically important. We find in Hebrews 11:1, is it? Let's just flip over there real quick. Actually, verse 2, I believe. Hebrews 11, verse 2, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, the word worlds here is eon. It's talking about the time periods, the ages were framed by the word of God, and the word here is rhema, spoken word. So the words that come out of your mouth is what frames your world. Your world, your Garden of Eden, if you will, is developed by what comes out of your mouth. What you say is the direction that you're going to go in. I don't know if anybody on our hockey team is listening tonight, but I was sharing with Gary, we just finished a tournament and we only lost one game. And the game was against a nemesis or a rival, if you will, that has defeated us the last couple games. And when the kids found out that they were going to play this team, first, they didn't want to do it because they didn't think it was fair, which is a whole nother story. But then secondly, the fact that we have lost to this team before, and you will either defeat yourself or you will encourage yourself by how you think, and how you think will come out of your mouth what you say. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, or one translation says, so he becomes. And so sometimes what happens is we get weary in well-doing, we get discouraged by what we see, we get discouraged by what we feel, and then we allow it to come out of our mouth, and then we prophesy our future or where we're going to go or what we're going to do because of what we say. We need to understand that we are the prophets of our own lives. You're the prophet of your destiny. You're the prophet of which direction you go in. You're the prophet of what happens in your life. Satan cannot do anything in your life unless you allow him to do it. So what does he do? He tries to get you to look at the negative, to look at the problem, to focus in on how you feel in that moment, and allow your feelings, allow your physical sight, allow those things to dictate what you say. And then when you begin to say those things, that's exactly what ends up happening. Satan doesn't know the future. As a matter of fact, even though the scriptures are written prophetically for what's going to happen, Satan has no prophetic ability. He is a flesh devil. He's in the flesh, and he cannot know what's going to happen in the future. He doesn't even realize that he is going to be defeated. He doesn't even realize that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. He does not have that prophetic understanding. He doesn't get it, and he never will get it. And so a lot of times, you know, you look at these, what do you call them? I call it witchcraft, but, you know, tarot cards and what are other things, Gary?
Channelers, seers.
Channeler. Actually, seer is another word for a prophet. But what Gary's talking about are people that contact familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are demons. And demons don't know the future. They do know the past. And what happens is that if you don't change the same patterns from the past, then the past will repeat itself. And we see that over and over and over with history, about how history repeats itself. And even right now, we're seeing history repeat itself. We're seeing it happen in Eastern Europe. We're seeing it happen with these dictators. We're seeing it happen with Putin. We're seeing all these kind of things happen. And somehow people think that it's not going to happen again, but it is. History is repeating, and it always will until we make the change. Praise God. Your words determine the direction you go in. And so people think, if I go to this psychic, and the psychic says they pick up on things, what are they picking up on? They're picking up on familiar spirits. And those familiar spirits are revealing things that happened in the past. They don't know what's going to happen in the future. There's only one person who knows the future, and that is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're the only ones that know the future. But Satan will pick up on things of the past. He dispatches demon spirits, which are also called familiar spirits. If you remember King Saul got so frustrated. This is when he was in a very backslidden state. David had already been anointed king. He's trying to kill David. And he goes and he contacts the witch of Endor. And the witch of Endor had a familiar spirit. And as he contacts, he actually dressed up so that she wouldn't recognize him, because Saul had already declared that anybody who contacts a familiar spirit or a witch will be executed. And yet Saul gets tempted and he goes and he contacts this witch of Endor who has a familiar spirit and begins to conjure up this demonic spirit in order to find things out. And the story goes on to say that she contacted Samuel and Samuel was saying certain things. Well, it wasn't Samuel. It was a familiar spirit. How do we know it wasn't Samuel? Couldn't have been Samuel because Hebrews tells us that man is appointed once unto death and then the judgment. There is no coming back. We see in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus and how they both died. And the rich man was speaking to Abraham. Lazarus was taken into Abraham's bosom. The rich man is talking to Abraham and says, let me go back and talk to my brothers so that they won't come to this place of torment. And he said, not so. There is a gulf affixed between the two and no one can go back. And so they weren't talking to Samuel. I was talking to a familiar spirit through the Witch of Endor. And, you know, you got people like, what's her name? Gary McLean,
Shirley McLean. Shirley McLean. Yeah.
You know, Shirley McLean says that she has been reincarnated how many times? 20 times or something. And she talks about being kidnapped by aliens and all these kind of things. And she says that she was Cleopatra. And there are things that she revealed that she saw in Egypt, and she had never been there. And people went to these places that she saw in Egypt, and sure enough, it was exactly the way she described, and she had never been there. Well, how did that happen? It happened through a familiar spirit because these demons have been there. Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it seeks through dry places looking for a place of rest. And when it finds none, it goes back to the place that it was, where it was. And it takes seven spirits even worse than it is with him. And then the state of that man is worse than it was from the beginning. So these familiar spirits are real. They've been around for millions of years and they go to these different places. And then they are able to communicate with people that open themselves up. Another way that people open themselves up to familiar spirits is through Ouija boards, tarot cards, I already mentioned, psychics. What's the guy that was on TV for a while that said he was talking to grandma and your ex-husband? And they're called, the Bible calls them necromancers. They're people that contact the dead. Well, they're not contacting the dead. They're contacting the familiar spirit that is familiar with that person. So I heard about one where this, I think it's happened many times, Gary, maybe you can help me, but this woman was trying to find a will that her husband left and couldn't find it anywhere. So she hired this necromancer who contacted the spirit of the husband and told her where the will was. And sure enough, it was there. Well, how did this man, through this spirit, know that the will was there? Because it was her husband? No, because it was the familiar spirit, also called a demon. And that's exactly how it works. And so we're dealing with these kind of spirits, and you got to know what you're dealing with. I don't know how I got into all this.
very interesting, though.
Praise the Lord, yeah. But this is spiritual warfare. And these are the kind of things we deal with. And these are the kind of things that are very real. And the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. The word of God will reveal unto us the answers and the truth for all these things. So let's go back to politics here for a minute. We started to talk about, is politics important for a Christian to understand? Absolutely. Because we live in this world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in Christ, he has made us a king and a priest. Well, what is a king? A king is somebody with civil authority, someone who rules over a people. Jesus said in Luke 21, he said, if you'll be faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. That's our future in the millennial reign of Christ. Well, let's look at Proverbs. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. And we're going to read verse 2. I got lots of emails coming in. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now in studio 101 at gmail.com. That's in studio 101 at gmail.com. While you're turning to Proverbs 29, I'll tell you another story. When I first became a Christian, I really believed that it wasn't our responsibility to protect ourselves, that it was God's responsibility to protect us, and that there was nothing that we should do in the natural. And so my pastor at the time, not my pastor now, Bishop Butler, but my other pastor, he said that if someone broke into his house, he would defend himself with a firearm. Now, if you're in another country, I don't mean to offend you. And I know in other countries, including Canada, it's not legal to protect yourself with a firearm. Do you understand that, Gary?
I don't understand that, no.
Does that make any sense?
No.
So Gary has an American background, and I have an American background. And those of us that grew up in America, you grow up with a mentality that you have the right, the God-given right to defend yourself, which is a God-given right in the Bible. And I'm going to show you what Jesus said about it in just a moment. But my attitude is I just pray and believe God to protect me and cover me. Well, here's the thing that we need to understand. You can't pray out God's word. In other words, if God's word tells you to do something, but you won't do it, and you choose to go in a different direction, and you want to believe for something other than what God's word says, then you are outside of God's protection. You cannot believe God for something that's not in the word of God, or that is contrary or not covered by the word of God. And so we have to understand that it's having the whole counsel. The first church I went to was called a full gospel church, which meant that they believed in everything in the word of God. Now, the church I go to now, Word of Faith, is essentially the same thing. We believe in the fundamentals of God's word, that the word of God says what it means and means what it says. Well, a lot of people just want to believe what they want to believe, and they don't want to hear or follow the whole or the full counsel of God. Someone said one time, do you know the full counsel of God? No, but I know God, and I know the Holy Spirit, and I know that the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth, which is all the whole counsel of God. And so it's so important to know all the word. And so I found this scripture, actually Bishop Butler was preaching on it one time. I think it's in Luke 21. Let me go there real quick. Praise the Lord. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was preparing them for when they're going to be sent out. And that once they're sent out, what they should do and how they should act. And he said, when I sent you out, I didn't send you with purse or with a let me find it out here real quick. Let's see here. Luke 22 and verse 36. Then Jesus said unto them, but now, let me back up. Verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, did you lack anything? And they said, we lacked nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise, his scrip. His scrip is his leather pouch where he would keep food, to have food with him. And like your lunch bag. And he that has no sword. Now the sword was not a machete to clear the way in the woods. The sword was to protect themselves. They all carried swords. You remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane, Gary? Do you remember?
Yeah, he cut off the ear.
He cut off the ear of Malchus, the centurion. And then Jesus healed it. And what did Jesus say to him? Say to Peter, if you live
by the sword, you'll die by it.
That's right. So we're not to live by a sword of protection. But is there a place for a sword of protection? Let's keep reading. He said, he that has no sword, let him sell his garment. The garment would have been your clothes, like your coat or your robe or some type of vesture. He said, sell your coat and buy a sword. Verse 37, for I say unto you that it is written, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, here are two swords. And he said unto them, that's enough. In other words, a primary sword and a backup sword. Well, back then they carried swords, but what do they carry today, Gary?
Guns.
Yeah, you're going to see a Toronto police officer with a sword?
No.
What are you going to see him with?
A gun.
A Glock.
Yeah.
A shotgun. A rifle. You're going to see him with a gun. So it's the same thing. So Jesus said, if you don't have one, he said, get one. But remember, we have to take in the full counsel of God. And Jesus also said to Peter, he said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So in other words, the sword is not my protection. God is my protection. But there may be a time when you need to use the sword by the leading of the Spirit to protect yourself. Not all men have faith. And so as a young Christian, my thinking was, is that God's angels will protect me, and they will. But there may be a time when God says, now use the sword to protect, and I will back it up. Did David sit there and wait for God to destroy Goliath?
No.
What did David use?
Like a slingshot.
That's right, a stone.
A stone, yeah.
And when he approached Goliath, do you remember how many stones he had, Gary?
Three?
It's okay if you don't.
Was it three?
Five.
Five, okay.
He had five smooth stones. Do you know why he had five smooth stones?
No.
You want to take a guess? How many did he use?
Just one, I think.
And exactly. And who was it intended for?
The giant.
Goliath.
Goliath,
and,
yeah.
And when he swung that, the power of God grabbed a hold of that stone, and that stone sunk into Goliath's head all the way to his brain. And you know it had to hit just in the right spot because Goliath had armor on. His armor weighed 220 pounds. That's more than how much I weigh. My weight is more than the armor that Goliath was wearing. And that stone went right into the spot where it entered into his temple and sunk right into his brain and killed him. And he dropped dead right there. But David had four more stones. Guess what those other four stones were for?
I don't know.
Goliath had four brothers.
Oh, right.
And so if the four brothers decided to rise up, David was ready for
right.
Him. Praise the Lord. That's why you always have your primary magazine and you got a backup. Amen.
Amen. Right.
Praise God. So it is scriptural to defend yourself. But there is a time for everything under heaven. There's a time to defend yourself and there's a time not to defend yourself. But there's always the time to acknowledge God in all of your ways, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and he will protect you. Now let's jump over to Proverbs and let's talk politics for a minute. Proverbs, you should be there. I ask you to hold your place there. Proverbs 28, and let's just start with verse 1 and then we'll read verse 2, which is where we're going. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a strong word right there. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so we're seeing in all kinds of countries right now where the wicked are bearing rule. We're seeing it in Russia. They say right now, Gary, in Russia, that more than 1,000 young men are fleeing Russia per day because they don't want to serve in Putin's army to fight in the war of Ukraine, where they're dying by the multitudes every day. Putin has lost so many men in this war. Yeah. It's really hard to believe. But we're seeing the hand of God. We're seeing judgment right now being released on Putin. And sadly, it's happening to the Russian people.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell everybody real quick how they can get on board tonight, would you?
Sure. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with Pastor John Ward. Very simple to get a hold of us if you have a question, a praise report, anything at all. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Back to you, Pastor.
Praise God. So, the scriptures do say several things about politics and about our responsibility. So we find in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So sin is not just a reproach to God's people, it's a reproach to all people. And what is sin? Well, the Greek word for sin is hamartia, which means to miss the mark. And sin is doing anything that violates God's word. And so abortion, for example, is a sin. I believe that we're going to see a tremendous turnaround, Gary, here in November in the United States.
Yeah,
and one
the
of
midterms.
The major reasons is because of the overturn of Roe versus Wade. I really, in the natural, I didn't think I'd in my lifetime I'd ever see Roe versus Wade defeated.
No, I didn't either.
And yet through prayer, I constantly spoke it. I used to do early morning prayer all the time in Southfield, Michigan, at our headquarters church before I went to Texas and before I went to Canada. And then in Canada, I did it as well for years. And one of the things I'd always declare is that Roe versus Wade is overturned. And it wasn't a prayer anymore. It was a declaration. It was a declarative statement. And that's what faith does. Faith declares, faith speaks. And so I began to speak it over the United States. The other thing I would speak is that no weapon formed against the United States would prosper, that the blood of Jesus covers the United States from coast to coast, from the Canada to the Gulf of Mexico, from the east to the west, and that the blood of Jesus protects this nation and the angels protect this nation, and that every tongue of terrorism that rises up against this nation is condemned in the name of Jesus. And of course, I spoke that regularly and still do since 9/11, because on 9/11, we saw how the terrorists infiltrated, and it was a form of judgment. Now, people say, did God judge the United States? Well, ultimately, judgment comes from God, the scripture tells us. However, we need to understand that people judge themselves by refusing to walk in God's ways. And so, there is a, what do we know, Gary? There is a reaction, an equal and opposite reaction for every action.
That's
so
right.
Every time you do something, there is a result. My bishop likes to say it like this, that decisions have consequences. And so the United States, Gary, has killed more babies than the people that died in World War II.
That's incredible.
68 million babies have been killed. You say they weren't babies, they were fetuses. They're babies, my friend. If you stop it from happening, I heard an example, Gary, the other day, they were talking about pizza. And this guy, said, well, if I take all the dough and I take the pizza and I put it together and I put it in the pan and I stick it in the oven at 400 degrees and it's supposed to cook for, 12 minutes, but you come by at 2 minutes, pull it out of the oven and throw the dough on the floor. What happened?
There's still a pizza, but it's not cooked. I can't eat it.
It never developed because you stopped it. So if you hadn't stopped it, it would have been a pizza that I would have enjoyed. And it's the same thing with a baby. You're destroying a baby that would have lived and fulfilled its number of days, but you stopped it. You took the dough out of the oven and you threw it on the floor. And it's no different with abortion. And so the United States has killed 68 million babies. That's just crazy. It's unbelievable. And Planned Parenthood has helped, as well as many other resources, including the governments. Canada was one of the first nations to leave. I think it may have been the first nation
to legalize.
If it wasn't,
abortion,
it was one of the first to legalize abortion. First one to legalize prostitution, some of the drugs, and different things. Praise God. Canada, you know, if Canada doesn't repent, judgment's coming. And it's the same thing in the United States. We have seen judgment come, but now we see that the United States has overturned Roe versus Wade. And it's huge. And yet there are some states in the United States right now, including the federal government, trying to pass new abortion laws to allow abortion up till and including the day of birth.
That is the most horrendous thing in the world.
You know about that, right?
Of course.
So what's his name? Newsom.
Gavin Newsom.
In California. Gavin Newsom just signed a bill to allow abortion up till the day of birth. So the baby is born alive, but it's not full term, they can still do what they call infanticide, which is killing the infant. It's murder.
It's so
and
sad.
I was telling that to somebody the other day who used to be Republican and now they're a Democrat and they follow the Democrats platform. And I told them that and they said, no, that's not true. That's murder. I said, just look up in California, look up in these other countries, other states rather, that are doing it. And in Canada, for example, Ontario will not allow third trimester abortions. You know what they do, Gary? I think I've talked about this before.
No.
They will pay to send the mother to Colorado to have a third trimester abortion.
Oh, boy.
$20,000 of taxpayer dollars from Ontario, and then they send them back. So, you know, judgment, there are, like my bishop says, Bishop Keith Butler, you can check him out at wordoffaith.cc. That's wordoffaith.cc. He says that decisions have consequences, and it's absolutely the reality that what you decide to do, there's going to be a consequence, good or bad. Praise God. A lot of it also determined the judgment is determined on the knowledge that you have. If you have knowledge that you, and you know it's wrong, there's going to be a greater level of judgment that will come as a result. Praise God. Psalms 109 verse 8 says, may his days be few and may another take his office. The King James says bishopric. And there it's specifically talking about Judas Iscariot. And there's several scriptures. Titus 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready for every good work. Well, if you live in a country, one of your responsibilities as a citizen is to vote. And voting becomes your seed. Your seed is your vote. So if you vote for unrighteousness, if you vote for a individual who stands for unrighteousness, that's your seed. And it's going to produce a harvest. If you vote for an individual that is fighting for abortion rights and to kill babies, if you vote for an individual that is fighting for the rights of homosexuals and for children to be able to, right now, Gary, there's a bill here I forget which one it is. My wife could tell you in 2 seconds. But there's a a bill they're trying to pass that has to be voted on next month. November 8th is voting in the United States, and it has to do with taking away the right of a parent to know if their children are going to begin reassignment therapy.
Yeah.
And you know, the boy, for example, believes he's a girl, and he can go to a counselor at school, and they will connect them with individuals that will help them take hormones and then begin reassignment surgery, get their breasts cut off, get their testicles cut off, all these kind of radical surgeries without the parents even knowing. It's absolutely demonic. And so if you vote for someone that stands for that, that's your seed. And so this is what we need to understand. You don't just vote because grandma voted this way and daddy voted this way and mama voted this way and all your friends around you are Democrat and they vote this way. You better find out who you're voting for, because the person you vote for, what they stand for, and you vote for them, you now are supporting, condoning, employing them to do what God calls an abomination. And there will be consequences on your life because of the choice that you made to vote for that person. Well, we always vote that way. And I, you know, they believe in certain things economically, and I think it's the right thing to do for my economics and finances. And so I'm going to stand behind them. You better make sure you find out what else they believe for and find out if you're voting for the right person. I ended up voting for almost a brand new party. What's the name of that party in Canada? He's out of Quebec.
Oh, Bernier?
Yeah, I voted for Bernier.
Yeah.
And I voted for him because now he wasn't real strong regarding abortion, but he was against it. But, you know, not super strong, but way better than everybody else, including those that were so-called conservatives, especially, who was it at the time?
Andrew Scheer? Or no,
after Scheer,
who was
he was
it?
Terrible.
Yeah, they got
he's
rid
gone
of him.
Now.
Yeah,
he was terrible. But anyways, basically, you know, a liberal saying that he's a conservative and absolutely wasn't. And so again, your seed, your vote is your seed.
Aaron O'Toole. O'Toole,
and you got to figure out who you're voting for. It's critically important. You got to do your research, do your homework, and find out what these bills are, find out what you're voting for, find out what the millages go for. Don't just take it at face value. Do your research and get ready, because whatever country you're in, unless you're maybe in China, there's going to be a vote. But they even vote in China, even though it's communist. Praise the Lord. So make sure you know, maybe North Korea, but you're not listening to this most likely if you're in North Korea, unless you're on a ham radio.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So let's get to your questions. I got a lot of emails tonight. Praise God. This is the most emails we've had in a long time, Gary.
Good.
Look at all these. All right, let's get to your emails. First email here tonight is from Tim. Tim says, praying, Pastor, that Putin does not use tactical nukes. He is talking about it. Yeah, me too. And that's something we need to be praying for and standing in prayer. But, you know, at the end of the day, understand that Ezekiel 38 is going to be fulfilled. And Ezekiel 38 is nuclear warfare. And we're at the very end. It's really important that you're ready. And when I say be ready, I'm not talking about having a gas mask and all your food, although you should have all that, not necessarily a gas mask, but, you know, be led. But you need to be ready spiritually, because Jesus is coming and there are difficult times right in front of us. Praise the Lord. Tim, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Walt. Walt says, hello to Pastor John, listening in again. Love this. An umbrella cannot stop the rain, but it allows us to stand in the rain. Faith in God may not remove our trials, but it gives us strength to overcome them. Yes, yes, amen, and yes. That is a great word, and I'm going to save that one. That's really good, and it's absolutely the truth. If you look at Psalm 91, Psalm 91 talks about God delivering the righteous, God delivering those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, notice you got to be under the shadow, and you have to abide or remain or stay under the shadow. Not all Christians do that. If you have sin in your life and you know there's sin in your life, you've come out from under the shadow and you've come out from that protection. Three times we see the word deliver in Psalm 91. And each word is different in the Hebrew. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 is so important, that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there's a right way, there's a wrong way. And the right way is that you got to go to the words and see what they are in the Greek and the Hebrew. The Old Testament is Hebrew. The New Testament is Greek. Did you know this before I started this radio show, Gary?
No.
So, you know, I'm telling you, folks, the stuff that we're dealing with on Spirit of Faith Radio is so important, because these truths are vitally important for your spiritual welfare and your growth and your protection. So there's three words for deliver in Psalm 91. The first one is found in verse 3, or technically it's stanza 3, because Psalms 91 is a psalm or a song, S-O-N-G. This word in verse 3, deliver, is the Hebrew word nasal, and it means to snatch away, to pluck up. So it means to remove from the problem. And so he says in stanza 3, he said, surely he shall pluck thee up from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. So that word means to pluck up or to remove. And then we see in verse 14, he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, this word deliver is the Hebrew word palat. And palat means to slip out, to escape, to carry away to safety. So this is another one for getting you out. Now, if you remember Jesus, do you remember when he went to Nazareth to preach, Gary, and they were offended with him and they said, aren't you Mary's son? And aren't you the son of the carpenter? And Jesus was telling them who he was, that he belonged to God. And they became so offended, they tried to throw him off the cliff.
Yes.
But he just disappeared into the crowd. That's this word deliver. It means to escape, to slip away. And the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, delivered him from that situation. And then he says, the other word deliver, let me find it real quick, in Psalms 91, in verse... let's see, verse 15 as well. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. This is the third word now. I will deliver him. This word deliver is halas. And this word halas means to equip for battle. He will equip you for battle, praise God. So deliver here doesn't mean to pluck you up. It doesn't mean for you to slip away. It means that he is going to equip you to stand in the middle of the trial. And so we go back here to this from Walt tonight, and he says, Walt says, an umbrella cannot stop the rain, but it allows us to stand in the rain. What is an umbrella then, Gary? It's equipment.
Yes, it's equipment, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, God might deliver you from the situation. If someone breaks into my house, you know, I have a safe room, so I go to that place and wait for the police to come. But what if the bad guy is able to get through that door for some reason? Then God is not only delivering me, he is delivering me, but the word deliver here now is equipping for battle, which means now I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to defend my family. One thing that Paul said, he said, pray for me, for not all men have faith. So there are some bad people in the world. Jesus said, I send you forth among wolves. So be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. An umbrella cannot stop the rain, but it allows us to stand in the rain. It equips us for the battle. Faith in God may not remove our trials, but it gives us strength to overcome them. And remember what faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the rhema. It's the spoken word of God. So God will speak to you in that moment and give you instructions and tell you and show you what to do. But you got to be ready, praise God. Ready in your mind, ready in your heart, and even ready in the natural, praise God. Physically ready to overcome whatever trial may come. Praise the Lord. Walt, thank you for getting us stirred up tonight. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Tommy. Tommy says, the spirit of faith is the greatest. Love this, Pastor. It says, God doesn't ask for our permission to pursue us, and he's not waiting for us to ask him. He doesn't require us to clean up first, and he's certainly not expecting us to be good enough to deserve his mercy. In that sense, God is no gentleman. Thankfully, praise God. Well, I partly agree with that. God is a gentleman. He'll never force himself in our lives. And he will ask permission. And he'll also wait. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And if any man will let him in, he'll come in and sup. But he won't come in unless you invite him in. And that's not talking to unbelievers. In Revelation 3, he's talking to Christians that are backslidden. He says, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll let me in, I'll come in. Praise God. Call you blessed, Tommy, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Harry. Harry says, hello to Pastor John Ward. What a show. I'm praying for you all, Henry. Call you blessed, Henry, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight. Oh, my goodness. Did you see this picture, Gary?
Which one?
Sadie. Sadie says, Pastor, I know that you had David Menzies from
Rebel Media on your show
in the past. I know. I don't know if you saw this. Oh, I saw it. But David was making the point to a school board in Peel Region here in Toronto to accept a petition with 60,000 parental signatures on it to get rid of the teacher who did that and the school board who refused to take it to David or take the petition. David called them out as woke hypocrites. And it's this teacher with these just hellacious boobs on her chest and his chest with nipples sticking out. The thing's got to be sticking out 2.5 feet from his chest. And it's just an absolute abomination that the school board allowed this and did not fire him immediately.
David, I talked to David about that. And he actually said, you know, they all walked out. They got up out of the meeting and they wouldn't finish the meeting, talk to him or any of the other parents there complaining. And they walked out. They ended the meeting.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why judgment will come. Judgment will come because they refuse righteousness. They refuse what's right. And so judgment will absolutely come. Thank you for sharing that, Sadie. Thank you for your boldness. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Nancy. Nancy says, hey, Pastor John, he will never turn away. And it's a picture of Jesus. And he says, I will never turn away anyone who comes to me. John 6, verse 37. Love it. Thank you so much, Nancy. And if you're listening tonight and you feel down or discouraged or depressed, or you feel like God has left you, he's never left you. He loves you. And you say, well, I've committed so much sin and I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, you haven't. If you even think about the fact that you have and you want to come back to God, then you haven't done it, because someone who has committed that sin, the unforgivable sin, is someone who has a heart that is so hard toward God, they don't want to repent. If you want to repent, all you got to do is repent and God will hear your prayer and forgive you. Call you blessed, Nancy, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Holly. Holly says, good evening, Pastor Ward. This is a very deep and profound statement. It says, we need not to worry ourselves with the ending of the world tomorrow. We need to check the condition of our soul in case Jesus comes back tonight. Woo! Good word. Praise God. Amen to that, Holly. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Monica. Monica says, what we worry about the most is the indication of where we trust God the least. Woo! Oh, my goodness. That is so good. I'm going to say it again. It's a beautiful picture of the sun on a river with the riverbanks and pine trees on the side. And it says, what we worry about the most is an indication of where we trust God the least. That is so good. You're going to see that on my Facebook page. I just saved it. Ooh, that is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for sending that tonight. Another email here tonight. From Call You Blessed, by the way. Who was that? Monica, Call You Blessed. Another email here tonight from Irene. Irene says, hey, Pastor, always. God is always good. Amen. I say that all the time. And it's absolutely the truth. And I love that icon. Thank you for sending that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Save it. I just saved it. Another Call You Blessed tonight, Irene. Another email here tonight from our friend Sam. Sam says, hi, Pastor. John, you rock. This is deep. And it's a picture of John Wick. What's his name, Gary?
John Wick?
Who played John Wick? He also was in The Matrix.
Keanu Reeves. Yeah.
Yeah, it says, this is deep. I don't care how much you don't like me. The last time I checked, the road to heaven wasn't through your yard.
I love it. That's hilarious.
Hey, man, I don't care how much you don't like me. The last time I checked, the road to heaven wasn't through your yard. That's good. I love it. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Sam, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Ray. Ray says, hi, Spirit of Faith radio show. This song, the fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about anticipated traffic numbers. Whoo!
That's good as well.
Wow. The fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot. That's interesting. Praise God. Call you blessed, Ray, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from William. Hi, Pastor John. Abortion fact. The human is the only species who wants their baby to die. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All other mammals fight so their baby may live. Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. That's true. Call you blessed, William, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Chris. Chris says, to all the Spirit of Faith listeners, love this. The reason I'm old and wise is because God protected me when I was young and stupid. Isn't that the truth? It's his mercy and his grace, praise God. Last email of the night is, call you blessed, Chris. Last email of the night is from our friend Anne. Anne says, we love Pastor John's radio broadcast. We live in St. Petersburg, Florida. And Pontius Pilate asked the crowd, who should I let go? And the people shouted, Barabbas the thief. And 2,000 years later, people are still choosing the thieves. Yeah, and that would be good to go along with our politics tonight. Praise God. Amen. So good. And it was such a privilege to be with you all tonight. Thank you, Gary, for all that you do. And thank you everybody who tuned in tonight. I call you all blessed. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is it. Oh, check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. That's spiritoffaithradio.com. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with Pastor John Ward right here on Reality Radio 101.